Hello.
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 Hey there, everyone. It's the RCR, the Retro Computing Roundtable, show 30. And we're live from Kansas Fest 2012, recording live on Friday, July 20th.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, let's hear it.
Woo.
We have a live audience. The RCR is brought to you by both Navis and CyberEars. If you're looking for a hosting company for your podcast or audio files, then CyberEars is the right place for you. Go to CyberEars.com for all the details. Now Karen can do a promo for Navis.
Go Navis. we should thank them. Navis Pack and Chip, the sponsor of 1 MHz. They fronted the bill to send the three of us down to Kansas Fest, so we really appreciate that.
We do.
And we're extremely thankful for
that. Yeah, they do packing and crating and shipping for computers and art and that sort of thing.
And they have good taste.
I will have a proper promo to read on 1 MHz, I'm sure.
All right.
But thank you, Navis.
Yes, that was awesome of them.
So I'm David Grealish, and I'm going to be your host for tonight's special show, and I'm joined by my regular bros, Carrington Vanston and Earl Evans. Hiya, butts.
Hey, good to see you, David. Literally.
Right.
Good,
this is our first time ever.
Good is a strong word.
Yeah.
Together, the same table, the same room, the same state, the same air.
It's time for me to announce my retirement from podcast.
Oh, he's leaving the band.
Thanks for having the
my girlfriend Yoko has said that you're holding me back.
So, yeah, it's good to see both of you guys.
So who here listens to the show? Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Nobody raised their hand at this table, I know.
I never listen to the show.
I have to listen to it, like, twice. Who follows us on Twitter?
Yeah.
Would you guys mind telling us your Twitter name? So I guess, Ken?
Kay Gagne.
Caleb Alexander. Alexander, and who else?
A2 History.
A2 History.
Rotner James.
Rocker G, I'm sorry.
Nice. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Who else? Anybody else?
Scott Miller 42.
C-K-L-N-O-B-L-O.
That sounds
Thank
Bosnian.
That tripped me up.
I followed rockers 1 through 41. I don't think I can follow another rocker. Some rockers got
to
go.
That's why I write stuff down. I have to read it. So, okay, thank you very much. And so let's get right into it then. We're going to start off talking about Kansas Fest. So this is a day we all got here on Tuesday. So this is Tuesday.
We didn't all get here on
day
Tuesday.
Day 4, Kansas Fest. So Karen, why don't you make a few comments?
It's been awesome. It's my third time at Kansas Fest. I have had a heck of a good time, a little sleep deprived. Same as last year, my favorite thing so far has been the community sense. Like, I love the sessions, a couple of good ones. Martin's session on coding dangerously has just lit a fire under me to do some software in a fun way. So I'm really excited about that. So the sessions get you really pumped up here, but for me, mostly it's just about seeing people that I haven't seen in a year, hanging out with a crowd that's willing to sort of break spontaneously into talking about nerdy things and 8-bit stuff. Is not something I get to have in my real life. So it's a rare and crazily fun opportunity. So every time it comes by. So I look forward to it. In the months coming up, I get more and more excited. And this year has just been as good as last.
Yeah, the build-up was great.
Oh, yeah. Having such a good time. And there's still lots more to go.
I mean, it's great being here, but the build-up was great, too. The reality's also good.
It's bark and bite.
Yeah. Yes. So, Earl, go ahead.
Well, this is my first time at Kansas Fest. I've wanted to come for a few years. This is the first opportunity. I'm having a fantastic time. I mean, it's almost indescribable. I'm with Carrington in that the socializing has been a wonderful aspect of Kansas Fest. I felt like I've made new friends here. And it's amazing. People who are into retro technology, in a lot of cases, are also interested in some of the other hobbies that either occupy my time now or have in the past, things like ham radio or shortwave radio or model rocketry or, building little electronic things with microcontrollers. It's just, totally an opportunity to geek out and have fun with folks and meet kindred spirits. And I have very much enjoyed the sessions also. I have to admit that when I get home, it's going to be hard. I have a project that I need to finish on the Commodore, but it's going to be hard not jumping onto the Apple II and doing some programming. I need to push that off for a couple of weeks, but man, I'm fired up also.
And Earl did a session first time here and does a session. That's awesome.
It was a lot of fun. I actually did a session on why, even though the Apple II was my first computer, I wound up bouncing around to a lot of 8-bit computers. I guess computer promiscuous, as it were.
Well, the audience started throwing the disk drive, so that
it was warranted. Totally warranted.
No, I'm okay. I'm okay.
I don't feel bad for having started that at all.
But there is a doctor on site.
Yeah, there's two.
Yeah, that's right. There's two doctors, so we're in good shape. What about you, David?
I'm having a great time, and I'm the third person to talk, so you guys already covered most of it. The culture and the community is the greatest thing, and so I made some notes. You know, John Romero was awesome. I'm not really a programmer myself. I've never been a big gamer on computers, especially 8-bit. I was more of an arcade gamer, but I enjoyed his talk very much, and it inspired me in many ways. I did a presentation too, which went over pretty good, I think.
Nope.
And I did a Vince Brill kit, and I've broken it, and I have to fix that.
Did you really?
Yeah,
you broke it.
I put the wrong socket in.
I did a Vince Brill kit as well. Second time in a row, picking a very, very easy one. And I did it fine.
How'd it go? You tested it, right?
Yeah, well, it worked perfectly. Yeah, I did the 4-meg card. Last year I did the USB controller, the USB MP3 player. And I really hope that that's going to be a thing every year. Like, that's one of my favorite parts of Kansas Fest.
Yeah.
That little mini maker fair we do, you gather it.
Right.
Somebody was saying yesterday, I can't remember who it was. Somebody here? I don't remember. Was saying how it's such a thrill to sit. Soldering's fun, but to sit with a group of people all making something like that is itself a really unique experience, and that's awesome.
And especially have backup and help.
Yeah, that helps a lot. But yeah, but it's just really fun to sit and have so many people all working on projects like that. Like,
and
that's
with
just
grizzled veterans here to help you out. Like grizzled. David was saying, you know, if we bump into problems, as David did, soldering
veterans. Let's keep bringing that up, David.
I needed a lot
had
of help.
Problems.
Tony Diaz helped me.
Couldn't handle
that,
it.
That socket out. I got to fix that.
David, get
so
your socket out.
So the last point is, I call this camp. This is the first time I've been to camp in a long time. And we're living here.
What do they call it that? The summer camp for geeks?
Camps? Yeah, it's great. That's a.
They don't call it that anymore. I think Ken somehow, nudged that out of the promo. Didn't you, Ken?
Yes. We got some negative feedback from some of the attendees.
About calling it that?
You can call it that.
We're going to call it that.
Wait, give us their names.
It's what we do. We'll talk to them.
So we are having a great time at Kansas Fest, Gustav. Another day, another full day tomorrow, and then we have Sunday morning, early afternoon. So
and
it's
I
not
think
over yet.
None of the three of us don't have any more. I've done my presentation. We've all done our presentations.
Yep.
So now it's just
the last thing.
Relax
just
and enjoy. Like
And just to mention, we were scheduled for 7:30 to do this. It's now 9:04.
Totally Ken's fault.
We're 100%
late. Ken, right? All Ken.
But we're
all
happy.
Time.
It was great. The banquet was awesome, and so. Cool.
That was great. The videos were great.
We have a cool game to play after this. What's it called again?
Star Saga 1. I didn't get the chance to play it last year. They were going to break it out. I think they didn't play.
Isn't it Saga? You say Saga, I say Saga.
Canadians? Star Saga, one, A.
I'll get out.
A. Get out. what are you talking about? And I'm really excited about it. Other than, it's a game I've wanted to play for years. I'm really, really excited. So it's a mix, I think, of board game and computer game. Mike McGinnis, who I think is here drunk and mocking us somewhere, is he's played it before. I'm really excited to play it for the first time. I was reading about it online, and it turns out a typical session takes 14 hours. So I think the goal is to begin the game today.
Yeah.
And then Andy Moy is going to take away the disc, and then we resume the game next year. It's going to be like
an
ongoing Kansas Fest game. I love that idea.
Yeah.
Because I ain't doing 14 hours tonight. Ain't.
That's what
you say now. Well, we're moving right along.
That's what she said.
Our studio audience can see that we're 9 minutes into the show almost. We are going to keep this to an hour so we can move on to that game and other things.
Absolutely.
So take it away, Earl. You've got the first news item. Carrington, I'm sorry.
What?
The clamshell. This is a short piece.
Dude, you dumped that on me. I don't even know what the heck this is.
Want me to go first while you're looking
at
it?
Take it.
All right.
What the heck
is a clamshell?
He said he would take this piece.
Let me talk about
I don't know this thing.
I'll talk about the acorn Archimedes first.
Oh, so I got to learn about this while you talk?
There you go.
There's
I know about that.
Yeah. What?
Go. No, go.
Sorry.
You guys suck.
No, it's on me. So RegHardware.com has an article, I guess about a month and a half ago, the Acorn Archimedes turned 25. And in the article, they talk about some of the innovations of the machine, including the fact that four versions of it were released in 1987, and these were the first machines, apparently, that were based off the Acorn RISC machine chip. Now, A lot of people may not have heard about Acorn and their computers from way back, but most people are familiar with the ARM processors that we use today and things like the iPhone and iPod and other mobile devices. So not only is it interesting to look back at Acorn, at some of the machines, very advanced machines for the day that they came out with, but also to understand the legacy of this. And the article goes into this, so I won't spoil it for you, but check it out, and we'll have a link up in the show notes.
Cool. I was trying to get back to it because I had switched off about the Wikipedia article.
Ah.
And Acorn was the main company. So it was attached to... No, Acorn went on to make the BBC Micro. No.
No.
Okay, different company.
I don't know.
But you're the keeper of all kind of knowledge.
This is where editing comes in later.
No way,
magic
dude.
Of editing.
Yep, it was built by the Acorn Computer Company. So when I said no, you should have stopped me. What I was going to say is no, yes.
Who made the BBC Micro?
Hey, well, I think it was Acorn.
Okay, that's cool. That's all I wanted to tell you.
Yes, Acorn Computers. It turns out it did. December 1981, right. According to Wikipedia.
You're the Commonwealth representative here. You should have known
God
that.
God save the Queen.
You saw those in Canada, though?
The Queen?
Acorn Computers.
No. Acorn was strictly a UK thing.
But okay. Did you ever see Queen? In Canada.
Yes. Yes. Queen did play Toronto. No, the Acorn, the BBC Micro, those never came to Canada. I believe there were no models of that worked under our power requirements anyway. But it was never a Canadian release. None of the Acorn stuff was ever released in Canada. I don't think any of it was ever released in North America. Anybody here want to disagree with me?
Not that I know.
Acorn, yes, hit me.
Hercules?
I believe 10,000 U.S. model BBC Micro Model Bs were made. Most of it was a complete flop. Most of them were sent back and converted back to UK spec.
10,000 is a suspiciously round number. I don't believe a word of you.
And I have three of them.
That I believe.
Four made.
So Tony, in case you couldn't pick it up on mic, has three of them. That I would believe.
So interesting.
Roughly 10,000. Well,
tried to break into the North American market. It sounds
failed
like,
miserably.
Yeah.
10,000 of them were sold to Tony. He returned all but three. I'm going to update the Wikipedia article right now.
All right, so moving along, because I'll get back to that time constraint.
Let me talk about the Grid Compass 1101.
You're going to talk about it?
Yeah, because you threw me under the bus
and
assigned it to me. I've never even heard of this freaking computer.
Talk about it.
So supposedly, let's see if somebody in the audience has anybody here heard of the Grid Compass 1101? Hit me. Give me some news. Tell me about it. Supposedly, the first...
It's heavy. Very heavy.
Okay, it's heavy. So... supposedly, from 1982, was a design, and it's the first clamshell laptop computer. Now, that's a very specific niche to be having a claim for fame. Wasn't the first laptop, wasn't the first luggable, wasn't the first portable, but technically the first briefcase-shaped folding clamshell laptop. That's the new story you gave me, David, and I have milked it for all it's worth.
Okay.
So, David, back to you.
What's the big deal of it? Why is it making the news today, David?
Like I'm not sure. Basically, I was trying to come up with some quick topics, and I did computer history and news and Google.
You threw up a picture. Okay, so that's
because
the clamshell.
The greatest computing form factor of all time, I guess, because this, they're saying, established,
in my talk,
from the luggable to the laptop form factor.
Because I've never heard of it, so I don't know how much we can say it established.
I used to own a Mac clone, early Mac clone, called the Dynamac, and this is not a very good picture of it, but I don't know if you can tell it's the same case. Looks like.
That's the one I turned into a portable 2GS for Dynamac.
Oh, yeah? So apparently they use the same case, you know, from that manufacturer. All righty, so moving along. You know, we're doing this live and at Kansas Fest in the same room, which is
there's
America.
Like no retro news out of the Kansas Fest.
Yeah, it is fine. We're going to do our best to have a good show.
They might be talking about that because it went in space. It put it on the show.
You think they'd put that in the news story?
So, Earl, back to you.
With what?
Say it again, I'm sorry.
You should repeat that when they say it. If it went
they put it into space. They hated that thing so much they said, get off our planet.
They shot it towards the sun.
You heavy SOB of a computer.
Right, right.
Join your BBC Micro friends and get out.
Okay, so you can talk about the VCF Southwest role.
Oh, indeed I am. So yet another opportunity is coming up for vintage enthusiasts to get together and talk about vintage computers. This time, it's in Arlington, Texas, the Vintage Computer Festival Southwest 3.0, which is a mouthful. It's coming up on Saturday, August 4th, and Sunday, August 5th. It'll be at the UT Arlington University Center. So I'll read their little press blurb here. The third annual Vintage Computer Festival Southwest will be held on Saturday, August 4th and Sunday, August 5th at the UT Arlington University Center, which is all what I just said, at Arlington, Texas. The event is sponsored by the Museum of Information Technology.
Is that the
Arlington.
One that put the Ford thing in?
No. That's the Computer History Museum.
Okay, because that's ridiculous.
The UTA Office of Information Technology, the UTA College of Engineering, the Museum of Computer Culture, culture.
You're making some of these up.
The Houston Computer Museum, Vintage Tech, and the Retro Computing Roundtable. The event runs from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday and from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday. Admission's $15 for 2 days or $10 for one day,
live,
so get there.
Live. We'll sell you the whole seat, but
Saturday,
you'll only need
Saturday,
the
edge. Saturday.
And we have someone in attendance here from Arlington, Mike.
Arlington Mike?
Arlington, Texas, Mike, and so he's not in the room, but he's gone to this.
Is he going this year?
I think he said he was. So he's
very
not
cool.
Here to ask.
Bummer.
One of
can
the highlights
the
is that
story.
You can see some of the original parts of the ENIAC is what they are advertising. No pictures here or anything, but...
Yes, and parts is all you'll ever see because the thing was deconstructed.
Right. And then they had parts of it in the Smithsonian for quite a while, and at the University of Pennsylvania where they built it. But, so if you're in and around Arlington, Texas, do you know the name of the school? Around August 4th or 5th, you should... Sorry? University of Pennsylvania, right. Yeah.
So it would be awesome to see part of that computer legacy.
Eckert and Mockley. Okay, that pretty much wraps up the news and views and items of interest.
So what's next?
So we're keeping it short. So we're going to move right into our retro computing gift ideas. And Carrington, you're first.
Carrington, what do you have for us?
Gift ideas. This time I'm selecting something from ThinkGeek. Not a big surprise there. The go-to place when you need a last-minute gift for the retro lover.
And You're copying me. You're retroactively copying me.
Retro.
Because I'm doing a ThinkGeek
retro
myself.
Actively. It's like I'm working
we
on levels.
We are retroactive. That should be our new motto.
I am retro. You can be active.
Okay. Hey, look, there's Carrington right there in the ad.
Is it? Oh, yeah, baby.
That's
me
a
rocking
great
it.
Likeness of you.
So I have selected 8-bit sunglasses. Very, very straightforward item. What I like about these is the price point. So often I'm selecting gifts, and it's like hundreds of dollars or whatever. But in this case, it's a really cheap one. It's $8 from ThinkGeek. And they have a... I was going to look at that as well. They have...
That's cool.
It's very, very standard-looking sunglasses, but with an 8-bit shape. So they've got that, you know, low-res pixelated place. It's the kind of thing that if I had found ahead of time, I'd be wearing here at Kansas Fest. So easy stocking stuff for easy last minute sort of gift. Earl,
nice.
Want to add to it?
Well, and
what do you got there?
Even though Carrington stole my thunder, I am suggesting the 8-bit tablet sleeve.
What's that?
Which also, like the sunglasses that Carrington was just talking
about.
Dude,
I'm glad I went first. You ripped me off.
Is a sleeve for your iPad that has that kind of low-res graphic sort of look. Very pixely, very cool. A little more expensive than what you were going for.
You guys could do your awards.
I like your price point better.
That would be cool.
But, nice idea. But so mine's $30, but would still would love to have one of these.
I wouldn't have an
iPad to put in it. I'd have to put the HP touchpad in it, and then it might detonate. But
I notice how they call it a tablet. Everybody nowadays wants to say tablet instead of iPad.
Yes.
But whatever.
That's really cool.
Well, they are all the same, aren't they?
They've only sold 3 non-iPad tablets, all of them to Tony.
And they were very
the rest
were
launched
heavy,
in space.
From what I understand.
David, what have you got to compare?
Well, first, back to your sunglasses. They're 8-bit sunglasses, and they're actually $7.99.
So that's $1 a bit.
Should they made them $8?
They should have made them 8 bits.
Yeah.
$1.50.
What did I do?
No,
$2. Unique and original. Let's see.
I didn't metric, so that's why I messed up.
Done by sort of a complete deal.
They've said that about me often.
So I chose, another... Semi cop-out is, you can sort of cross over into Star Trek or robots, you know, if you can't find retro computing gift ideas. Or retro. Actually, this is a retro geek idea.
Oh, it is. I had something similar to this when I was a kid. Did you?
Me too.
Yeah.
And I had and I can't remember the proper name, but it almost looked just like this, but it was black, but it had the head with like an astronaut's head in it versus a robot head.
Hmm.
You guys remember this sort of thing?
That's more scary.
I'm sorry for our listening audience.
The
tin robot.
Both had these things?
We had one similar.
It's an American
so
thing.
So he walks, and then his doors open up, and he spins around. Yeah. And, authentic Japanese 1960 ones in good, great shape are going to be worth $200, $300. So this is a pretty good deal, $45.
So it looks like the chest opens up on this thing. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Did yours have sparks that came out of it?
No.
Mine actually had a little thing that opened up and sparks came out of it. You guys remember that? It was awesome.
I think I do.
There would no way that would pass safety regulations today.
They have a video. So, sorry, you're listening audience, we're going to watch the video real quick.
Oh, that sound is so cool.
So he's spinning around shooting his machine gun. Link in the show notes.
Yeah, you gotta see this. You have to see it to believe it. It kind of looks like Carrington, too.
I have a universal sort of appeal.
You do?
That is underrated by everyone but me.
I went ahead and added one other link just to this website called Retro Planet, specifically to their robots page, because I chose the one I liked, but they have about 40 or 50 of them or something.
Ooh, one's got eye lasers.
Different retro robots. You know, so hey, that's a good place to get those. I've looked for these sort of things.
Eye lasers.
For reproductions, I couldn't find them. So I wouldn't mind getting the one I showed myself.
You cannot buy the retro gift for yourself.
Here I am talking away from the microphone. That's good.
See, I couldn't get this because it would scare my cats.
Ooh, I want to scare your cats.
No, you don't.
I kind of do. I'm not really a cat person.
We're doing good. We're way ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
so now let's cover last time's eBay auctions. So, Karen, back to you, sir.
I love that sound of that. Back to me. I chose the, what did I choose? I chose the Franklin Ace 100, right? Yes.
Apple II earliest true clone.
Yes, supposedly.
There's one of those
Tony
here.
Will tell us if that's actually the case. Tony?
Someone brought one. Look, they want $500 for this thing.
Was that the, Tony will tell us, Tony. Was the Franklin Ace 100 Plus the true first clone of the Apple II?
Without a doubt, sure that it's absolutely not.
Tony says no.
True clone, though, Tony.
True clone?
What would you say is the first true clone of the Apple II?
It would be hard to say because.
But not this.
Factories at midnight in Hong Kong and ran and they made stuff without anybody looking. So these guys were inspired by it.
Got it.
They
okay.
Might be the first mass marketed. They had balls to do it and.
Right.
They took the schematics and copied it. But
and got sued for it, right. Okay. So this had a buy-it-now price of $500. I believe it did not sell.
Well, it hasn't sold yet.
It hasn't sold. Tony has not pulled the trigger on this. He has three of them already. Doesn't need this. So it's still there. So my choice, which I just mostly like because I like the form factor of this one. It's one of my favorite clones. I like the look of this clone a lot. So that's why I selected it. But did not sell. So far, no points.
Sort of looks like the top of it's almost like a scale.
Yes. Like how heavy is your monitor? You put it on your shirt.
The top does lift off like a cookie jar.
See?
Oh, really?
And then the keyboard just comes up.
See?
And, you know, this is probably the only Apple clone company where they're still in business.
Selling basketballs and
yeah, selling basketballs.
Yeah. Calculators.
Yeah.
Translators.
Right. So does anybody, probably Tony, but does anybody else here, have any of you ever had a Franklin Ace of any sort? One? Just one? Two? That doesn't count, Steve. Keep your hand down.
Did you like it? Has your Apple computers?
No.
They did the job for you?
They didn't always work. Not completely compatible.
Didn't always work.
Not 100%.
Yeah. So that'll kill you if you're buying it for the compatibility, if it lacks that. I never had a clone. I had my hands on them and borrowed one. I had a few friends with them, but I never had one.
You were
too
legit to quit.
I was too legit to quit. They tried to clone me. But no.
Alrighty, Earl.
I saw that movie.
They cloned Carrington.
Now, we're still talking about old auctions. So what?
What about you?
Oh,
did you sell?
Oh, I didn't switch them around. That's right.
Yeah, David.
Oh, let's go here. Alright, I chose a
model
vintage
51,
IBM
55.
Portable personal computer model 5155 dual drive. Works. No, it didn't sell.
Oh.
Reserve not met. $99.99.
They had a higher than $100 reserve on a 5155?
I guess so. Remember, there were some other ones that are like $150 and. So, and I don't see where it was relisted. Usually we'll
sort of doesn't matter what off. We picked with how cool Earl's was, but
think
whatever.
I think it's more eBay fever. I think they were maybe asking a little too much.
Work master, something. Anyway, we'll go back to you now. So now you, Earl.
Well, mine sold. I had one of these single board computers, like a Trainer. This one was kind of unique.
Yeah, I loved your choice.
And it has a little plexiglass cover. You could look in and see the innards and a keypad, kind of like
a
Kim. Amazingly, it sold for $2,025.
But you know, obviously we talked about this last show, that case, I've only seen pictures of that before. I've never seen one.
Tony, how many of these do you have?
to the nearest 10.
Yeah.
Move along. Has anybody here ever played around with an elf? Like, because this is something I've never seen.
Well, so this was kind
not
of the,
on Warcraft.
This was kind of the second generation, from what I understand.
Thus the earlier, two in the name.
Yeah, thus the two, like the sequel, like the Wrath of Khan. This was the Wrath of Khan to the Cosmic Elves, the motion picture. And so, but this one was kind of unique in that they sent them out, you build them like a kid. If I remember right, they said that most of them were of unique construction.
And so there's a chance that Vince Briel will come out with one of these I can build next year at Kansas Fest.
And it won't cost $2,000.
Yes, it will.
But you can see that, I mean, this was targeted to, obviously, the hobbyist market versus consumers, and it's 1977. You know, possibly the Apple II might have come out yet, or the PET, or the Terrace 80, but this...
Do you want to show the audience some of the other pictures? Like,
but this would have... How much do you think this would have cost new? I mean, it would have only been a few hundred dollars compared to...
How much would you pay?
Not $2,000. It is a sweet and unique machine, though. If I had spotted this, is what I would have chosen. I think this is a beautiful form factor and a really unique item. So I wouldn't drop $2,000 on it, but I've never seen one come up for sale before.
Right. And I don't know if we'll see one again, but if someone has one out there...
And you know what's that tag there?
What's that?
It says Lab 38. So it probably was in a whole lab of them, you know, a lab of these.
Mm.
It's nice. University or high
school.
Cool
item. Well chosen, Earl.
So what have we got for our current stuff?
Let's go shopping.
Well done.
Looks like I'm first. I have decided, shockingly, for everybody who's listening to the show, I'm going with an Apple II item. And I'm decided to select something that I would like to buy, but I'm not going to, because it's something that's still going. So everyone in Kansas West has a chance to bid on it if you're an active gamer. It's the big box version of Ultima 2, game I have never played, but comes up quite frequently on eBay. So it's not a particularly rare item, even the big box one. And the box in this isn't in particularly great shape, but it does have the cloth map, does seem to be complete. And the main thing is it currently only is going for $75, and it's the kind of thing that typically will go for a lot more. And does have 3 days, almost 4 days left in it, but I thought it's something that people at Kansas Fest can actually bid on. And you might get lucky, and with seven bids, maybe it's not going to get pushed up high, but because these typically go in the hundreds. So,
first, it's got good feedback, any three of them, $6 shipping. So who wants to make some predictions how much this will sell for in 3 days, 21 hours from this
It's going to go for over $300, I'm sure.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Do I hear 325, 325, 325?
I'm not going to buy it. I'm just saying it's going to go for over 300. That's my prediction.
I probably tend to agree with you.
Yeah, they go high. The big box versions of Ultima 1 and 2 go for big money if they've got the cloth map and stuff. And this box isn't in great shape, so it's not a real great collector item. But they still, no matter what, these things sell.
Do you think, does that have everything?
I have no idea.
It doesn't have very much.
Does it say in the,
it's got the little
description
card.
Whether it's
no,
complete?
No, look at the description. Just says... Oh, okay.
What
sorry,
usually
smaller text.
What's usually missing from the number two is the galactic map.
All
and it's
contents
got that.
Are in excellent condition.
Yeah, it doesn't
box
mean it's all
increases.
Yeah, but as far as I know, it just came with the. You know what's missing the instruction manual?
What does it say that?
Oh no, but I can see that it's missing the instruction manual. I want to think. Oh wait, no, it's got the. Yeah, it's got the map and the. I saw the galactic map and that's why I chose it because that's what's usually missing. You might never have the map, but it's supposed to come with that little instruction booklet.
Wait,
and
no, do
thing
the
and
little down arrow.
Do the down arrow.
Do the down arrow. Do the down
now
arrow.
Now do the monkey.
It's not. There you go.
I'm picking it anyway. I think it's going to go to some sucker for over $200 who didn't listen to our podcast. So that's my choice. I wanted to go Apple II stuff, and it's a bit of a dearth right now because everybody with the cool stuff is here.
So, Earl, you go next, sir.
Well, in honor of Kansas Fest, and because I'd really like to have this machine, it's a vintage Apple II Plus computer. Now, of course, the original 2s and the 2 pluses go for kind of astronomical prices. This one just is newly listed because I tend to pick from the newly listed pile of eBay stuff when I'm out looking around. So I have no idea how much this one will go for. But
more than $25.
I know a couple things. One is it works. The second thing is it's got almost 7 days left to go on the auction. It's just the computer itself, but it looks like it's in pretty nice shape, doesn't it?
I wish it showed pictures from the side, because a lot of times you know, schools will have burned things into the side of the numbers and things. But going from the top, which is where normally a school will wreck the thing with an etched number, it's really clean looking.
It doesn't look dirty. Now, they do mention that
a
couple
of
the letters are worn off on the power.
Yes. And you never know how the keyboard's working on something like this, but it's a really clean-looking model. So
you could refurbish the keyboard.
I couldn't refurbish the keyboard. I walk over to Tony and say, please refurbish my keyboard.
Yeah. Especially if you were here.
especially. But provided the rest of it, I'd like to see a shot on the inside because that could tell you a lot about the computer and the full shot of the back. But what you can see of it, it's really nice. And it says it works, and it's only $25. So.
Right. And with almost 7 days left to go, if someone was truly interested, they could probably send in a question to the seller and see, can I get a picture from the side? Yeah, more photos.
Lots of photos.
Second picture, it's a 48K model, so I assume that makes it slightly later than earlier.
Doesn't offer shipping to Canada, so this seller is dead to me.
So what is what do you think? What will it sell for?
I guess it depends, like Carrington's saying, on
it's just the computer.
The rest of the perimeter here, how it looks, because we don't know. But
yeah, they don't say what all other cards are in it either.
It's going to sell for $24.99.
At least.
It'll probably push 100, you think?
Oh, over that, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
Closest guess without going over wins, and I'm saying $24.99. $1?
Anybody?
Apple II Plus in good condition. What do you guys think?
$250, really?
No.
You think it'll go for
really?
That?
Sold.
I don't know. I mean, they're just going up and up.
I'm buying it right now.
They do keep going up. We do complain about that.
So,
David, what about you? What do you got
all right.
so good to
And just
to
mention, everybody in the audience saw me like run off because I thought I was going to sneeze. But, of course, at home, it's just me, and I could hit my mute button.
You can hit your mute button.
Sneeze all I like.
Sneeze. Right. Go for it.
Yeah,
sneeze
but
all
I sneeze,
you like.
You'd still, anyway, all right, let's go.
We could hit your mute button.
Where are we?
You sneeze, and then you lose its wings.
So I chose in honor of Kansas Fest an Apple IIc Plus computer. Looks like a pretty nice one. Has a monitor, printer, software, extra disk drive.
Ooh,
it's
nice.
A bundle. Guy's got great feedback. 731, 100% positive. $25 standard shipping, at least to me in the Atlanta area.
And I hate the fact that on most eBay auctions, because people have terrible cameras and stuff, you can never really know if something is terribly yellowed. Mm. And you look at something, just because it looks white doesn't mean the camera didn't. It's going to just do the auto exposure on the item and say, oh, I'll call that white.
Yeah.
So on something like this, you always have to look at, like, what does the spacebar's tone look like compared to everything else? On a 2C as well, you can look at the handle and see, like, what does the handle shade look like compared to the rest? Because they'll discolor at different times. And this doesn't really look discolored. This looks like it's actually pretty nice. But you can't really tell because looking at it, it could be that that's really yellow. But I can see from the papers in the first picture, those are blown out white. So the photo showing more white than in real life.
Mm.
But that's not a super yellowed one. So that's nice if it's working.
The description says it's in great shape and it comes with the manual. It comes with quite a bit. So now the question is, it's a 2C plus, so arguably it's
starting bit of, they're looking for 230 to
you know,
start
it's more
off
valuable 2C, right? Apple II to have. So they want 230.
What's
shipping very cheap, or $300 you could buy it right now.
25 shipping.
That's it?
Yep.
So the shipping's cheap on something.
I think for people here, this is too much. But in general, it's probably pretty good deal, right?
$325 including shipping. You know what? That's not too bad because a lot of times on something like this, you're going to pay $75 shipping.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Yeah.
And I think
if
you
can
get it
stuff
closer to the $230, it's pretty good. If you had to pay $300 for it.
Yeah, no bids so far and less than a day left, so we'll see. But
Yeah. They're only shipping off for $25.
The small green printer, not the LCD or a color one or something like that. But I like that printer. The monitor. I'm saying
printer. I don't know how they may ship it, but the guy's got 730. Guy or woman's got 731 feedback, 100%.
100%. So
they're not newbies to eBay.
That's true.
Newbie.
All right.
So the 2C
like
Plus. Did I hear that had a 3.5-inch floppy drive?
That's
4 megahertz versus 1-point-something.
It's switchable.
Right?
You can also tell a 2C Plus by the return key. You'll see that it's L-shaped.
Oh, yeah.
And on the regular
John
2C,
spoke
it's...
about that in the video we saw.
Ooh. Drop that name. Should I pick that up?
Yeah, there he goes.
Oh, you dropped
the name.
Sorry.
I just remember that he said it.
Hanging out. You impressed me.
Good memory.
Whatever.
Because we watched the video from, what was it, Apple Fest... Yeah, when it came out, 88.
Oh, and did I mention that David met him?
No,
but David mentioned it.
Look, that's the end of the show. That can't be right.
Yes, it is. I'm done with this.
That's too short.
How?
33 minutes.
Dude,
I want to
play. There's no news, and I want to play Star Saga.
I feel guilty.
It must be the distance between us.
Oh, wait. The last thing we're going to do is maybe we can take a couple of questions.
Yeah.
From the audience, and then we'll wrap
God,
it up.
God, I don't care.
Any questions?
Know.
Okay, that's it. And no, just kidding. Who's got questions?
Suggestions.
Yeah, suggestions. Stop now. Other than that.
Constructive criticism. Insults. Jokes.
Oh,
no questions, anybody? Ken Gagne.
Ken's rescuing us.
Hi.
So you have your own Twitter account, the podcast does, in addition to your 3 individual podcast accounts.
Right.
What about, first of all, 2 questions. One, why should we follow the podcast instead of each of you individually? Which one do you suggest? Do we follow the three
both.
Or the one show? Both?
Absolutely both.
What's the difference? Why?
I think on our individual ones, David, did you have something to add?
No, please. Yeah, seriously. Go ahead,
Ron. I didn't mean to cut you off. I think that we get things from different perspectives, whereas the things that you're going to read about from the RCR podcast feed or that Twitter account will be specifically related to the RCR podcast.
Who's behind the Twitter account for the show?
David.
And so I try to make it just specifically RCR related. Now, in the case of while we've been at Kansas Fest, I've been kind of going back and forth and retweeting a little bit from mostly me and Earl. If we tweet something Kansas Fest related, then retweeted it over to an RCR and vice versa. But normally, the only things you're going to see come across the RCR podcast Twitter is specifically about the show. And then we have our own otherwise.
Yeah, but my Twitter account personally is just for rambling whatever. Like my wouldn't have anything to do with
that kind of thing.
I just looked at it. Like I say things like, you ever get the feeling you've forgotten something obvious when decorating? It hit me when I looked around my apartment this morning. Ball pit. That's the kind of thing that I Twitter, right? So it's not necessarily anything to do with
retro
commuting.
It's a tough call, though. That's been sort of a challenge. Like, oh, where do I kind of, you know, so Earl hit it right on the head. That was pretty much sort of the way I've been trying to operate it.
And whose perspective do we get on the RCR blog?
Me. I got suckered into doing it. It's mostly
so far,
it's been 100% me. Earl and David say, we should have a blog. And I was like, yeah, I want a blog. And I'm like, I don't know, guys. It would be a lot of work. They're like, no, we definitely want a blog. And David's like, well, I don't know if I have a lot of time, but definitely a blog. And Earl's like, yeah, I'm going to blog. He even starts one. I'm like, okay. I want a dog. Who's walking the dog? The parent who said he didn't want to walk a dog. Always.
And he's feeding the dog, and he's cleaning up after the dog.
So I feel obligated because it's a blog. Yeah,
but
me.
He does such a good job.
We've split
screw
up the
you
duty.
All.
So, for instance, Earl handles most of the replying to email to RCR, our feedback at rcrpodcast.com.
So we break up the responsibilities.
So we did recently, I did post, if you guys haven't seen it, it's at rcrpodcast.com, and the posts we have are mostly, I try to link into something interesting that might not make the show. And I've forgotten, but the last one was those core memory videos. So they're from the U.S. Department of Defense in 1962, and they discuss how memory works in a computer and that sort of thing, and they're really interesting training videos for the Army on computer operations. They're
cool.
Fantastic. They're vintage. They're really, really interesting. So that would be something worth checking out. You can see the links on rcrpodcast.com.
And so, to say this out loud, a job for me then, too, is to be more aware of when you do this so I can tweet about it.
Be more aware.
I can tweet it out on... So you need to let me know.
Be more aware. Subscribe to the blog.
It's your fault. I'm not aware.
Or we could set it up where the blog automatically... does a tweet?
I hate when blogs do that, man. You've got it on the blog. Don't tweet it as well. I disagree with both of you. I'm walking the dog.
All right. Walk that dog.
My last question is, have you considered having a Facebook page or Google Plus page for the show?
You know, because you would have to keep it up. Dog walker.
So. No, we could probably split it up where you didn't have to do all the work,
mm-hmm.
Hampton.
Mm-hmm.
But what were your thoughts on that?
Oh, we should say the question because
I'm not sure. I know.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I don't feel like I have the time to do that. So.
We're going to repeat the questions.
Just so it's on mic.
Ken's question was, have we considered setting up a Facebook or Google Plus page for the RCR podcast? One thing that I think might happen if we wind up using Google Hangout for doing our... streaming and, you know, our interactive stuff while we're doing the
podcast.
We'll
be forced into a Google page.
That may lend itself to doing the Google Plus.
Yeah, we're going to start doing that.
Problem I have with Facebook is it's so easy to fall into the whole please like me, pity cries. And
right.
I just don't dig that stuff at all. Like that desperate need, oh, please like me.
You want me to stop?
Please.
And I'm not sure, with the Facebook, I'm not sure how much value that would add. With the Google Plus, integrated with the Google Hangout, I could see that getting a little bit more mileage.
Right.
So come over here, Ken, real quick. So what do you...
So we have here Ken Gagne from the much maligned Open Apple podcast.
Mostly maligned by
us. We
hate
him.
Mostly maligned by us. Ken, why do you mispronounce your last name? I'll open with a softball. Then I've got photos I'd like to discuss.
So I want you to answer to the questions you asked us. So what is your take on it from the perspective of Open Apple podcast? Then? Are you guys going to do that? Or
Open Apple did a listener survey back in January to ask what social media presences they wanted us to have.
And it was mostly, it was pretty divided. There was no clear cut, yes, we definitely want this. They kind of said no to Facebook, kind of said yes to Twitter, and actually were quite positive about Google+. But then the question arose, who maintains it? Who walks the dog? And, you know, given limited resources, we would rather just focus on doing the podcast. I mean, we don't really have much of a blog component to our show. We do two posts a month, one with our episode and one with the eBay results. And that's almost it. We don't do news. We don't have a Twitter account where we retweet A2 Central or, you know, break news about our interviews that we feature. We just do the podcast, and we post links to our podcast everywhere monthly, including Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, whatever.
Like me, like me.
Well, Mike and I, between us, have at least three Twitter accounts, sometimes more. So we don't really feel the need to bifurcate our audience even more. Mm-hmm. We have two widgets on our sidebar. One says follow Mike, and it has links to his four social media presences, and one says follow Ken. And we figure having those individual personalities as opposed to a faceless group identity with the podcast is more humanizing.
That's probably a good idea. We ought to consider doing that.
Putting links on our site about how we should follow Ken and Mike?
Yes. Yes, actually.
I like that, too. Would you
it's more interesting than following me.
Thank you, Ken. Let's just let them run the
show. Yeah.
Thank you, Ken.
In fact, could you guys just do the show for us? That'd be great.
Sure.
All right. Well, so take care, you guys.
There's
the Open Retrocast.
So, see, there's the RCR podcast, you know, Twitter, and then here's mine. So, Twitter. For instance, oh, okay, Kansas Fest. Hey, you tweeted. All right, anything else we want to talk about in that regard? I know, let's mention to everybody here and on the show itself that, so we're still discussing about maybe changing our format a little bit or the time frame, how often we do it. I'm not going to go into details, but okay. About streaming.
Yes.
And then having a forum for sort of like a twit-like, I guess, where people can ask questions and stuff, and we can maybe work that into the show a little bit. So we're still kind of working out those details. And
mm-hmm. You're stretching. Hate to have a short show, huh?
No, we're wrapping it up now.
I want to play Star Saga.
So that is all for show 30. Thank you to our great Kansas Fest audience.
Yeah. Wow, congrats to us.
30 today.
And to all the people at home for listening and being a fan of our show, go to rcrpodcast.com for the discussed links and show notes, and email the show at feedback@rcrpodcast.com.
I love the feedback you get.
We would love to have you start having more of that in the show. We would love to have your comments by way of audio, too, to play on the show. And you can follow us on Twitter with the username rcrpodcast. We still need your help in spreading the word, so please tell someone else about the show. You can mention the discussion list on your blog or on Twitter.
Have you heard about the show? I have.
A quick review on iTunes is always appreciated, too.
So remember, 1, 2, 3, Retrocompute!
And
like home, but it still just hits me in the